Hello, my name is Christian Gull, and I will talk about the deployment tool, which is called Werewolf 4. There will be, in the next few hours, hopefully, the release of 4.3.0. We are still in the release candidate 6. But yeah, that's the thing I'm talking about today. Now, the question is, what is Werewolf really? Werewolf 4 is a really simple but scalable and stateless cluster deployment system, which means you boot a scientific HPC cluster with more than 5,000, 25,000 nodes with the system, and this all goes stateless. It's working. People sometimes think, why stateless? But stateless makes the thing really simple for the start. Yeah, it's very lightweight because the nodes are stable, are stateless. So they boot completely in RAM. If you think you will spoil RAM, that's not always the case. You can then configure a swap, and if there is memory pressure, the whole operating system would be swapped out. Werewolf itself is agnostic against the operating system, so you can run it on a Leap and deploy a Tumbleweed, or deploy a CentOS, or deploy anything else. It's very flexible because we can configure the node operating systems with Go templates. And that's, if you know, for example, it's a bit like Jinja for Python. And so you can really configure the nodes as you want. And yeah, it's open source. That's the reason why I'm here. Now, we are now with Werewolf 4. Werewolf 4 has a predecessor, which is Werewolf 3. This is also a very successful HPC deployment system. It's actually used in OpenHPC, but OpenHPC will switch in the near future to Werewolf 4. The thing was why Werewolf 3 was kind of deprecated, because it had different storage backends, and this leads to lots of code just to go with the databases, file backends, and whatever. And also, it was implemented in Perl, and Perl is kind of not, you do not want really to develop Perl code which is then there. Also, it transported its own busybox, which always led sometimes to licensing problems. And the thing is, all these old HPC distribution systems always have their own mechanism to build the systems, the deployment systems, which means you have one mechanism to build a SUSE system, you have one mechanism to build a Red Hat system, you have one mechanism to build a Ubuntu system. And this is always complicated because there's kind of no real standard of bootstrapping OS. So this is very, really, really very hard to maintain for every distro. Then now the question is a bit, who is behind Werewolf 4? That's most likely a company which is called HPC&G, which does HPC consulting. They are also, that's the same people which invented Aptainer, which is the successor of Singularity. Yeah. And also the guys between CentOS and Rookie. They also from that company. And also me, which I'm working for SUSE, I'm also developing actively in Werewolf 4. Now, because what components are in now Werewolf 4? At the moment, it's just one single service that's called Werewolf D, which serves the containers to the nodes. The container contains the operating system. It's not an application container, it's an operating system container. Then you need a TFTP server running on your master server, so that, because the whole boot process goes over IPXE. Then you need a DHCPD, so that you have your IP addresses mapped to the nodes booting. You can also use a central DHCP server, which some people do, because they are not allowed from central RT to run their own DHCP server. Werewolf can cope with that. And then what you have is another binary. That's just one binary where you interact with the node database and say, okay, there's a new node. I want this operating system on it. It has that many network interfaces, I will assign or I want to assign this or that IP address to it. You can also directly edit the database because it's a simple YAML file. If you do that and anyone else uses WW control, then you are kind of doomed, but you know what you did if you open it in an editor. There's no warning yet, but there will be a warning. You know what you're doing. Optional, we can also deploy SSH keys. So most likely it's always the root SSH key to all the nodes that you can immediately log into the node. And also the NFS server can configure on the Werewolf master host. That's the most basic things. The rest of the configuration can then be done through templating. Now, I spoke, okay, we have this container, and it's not really an application container, it's really the operating system comes in a container. So you download an OCI container somewhere from the internet, and then you can immediately deploy that container to the nodes, which means you can, for example, get the Leap container, and download it, deploy it to the node, and you have a running Leap container. You can download, if you think, okay, I want to test a new kernel with, you can just download the Tumbleweed container, deploy it to the, boot it, deploy it to the nodes, and then you are done. So the boot image is derived from this container. Now, how can you get a container? The most prominent thing is you get it from our registry because, yeah, it's Leap. And we have some there. We have now containers for Leap 15.3, 15.4, and Tumbleweed. But you can also use... Docker or Builder to build a container, import it to the Werewolf configuration, and then boot your images. You always have to import this container to Werewolf because Werewolf has to flatten out the container and make it to a CPO archive that it really the nodes can boot from it. And you cannot do that on time when the nodes request the container because then you would run, if you boot 1,000 nodes, you will always flatten them up, and this will run into scalability issues. Yeah. You can also use Aptainer to build a change root container, input a change root, and you are done. We also have tools to modify the container because you got the one from the registry. You want your favorite toy in there. Then you can just shell into the container and say, okay, I want to go in this container, run a super, install the package, go out, deploy the container, you are done. Now, Werewolf heavily, the configuration itself, because every the container is the same for every node, we have to, at a given point, to configure the node that it knows, okay, what hardware does it have, what mounts does it have, which node is it? And this is done with overlay. So overlay is an individual CPIO archive, which is individual for every node. And then this archive is simply extracted over the container, which means we have all our config files in this overlay extracted at boot over the container, and then the node knows, okay, I'm this and that node. So that also means we can just add file with overlays and not in any case remove files with that. If you use them, so they always, if you see them, they have always the WW suffix. We have two kinds of overlay. There's the so-called system overlay that's available at boot time. So, and it's not updated at runtime. So if you put in files, they are immediately available when the container comes up. So for example, the IPMI config is in there, the network config is in there, the host name is in there. That's the thing which are in there. But we also have a runtime overlay, and this is regularly updated. So we download the runtime overlay when the host is booted, which means we can have additional security measurements in there, and we can update file in there because this overlay is updated every minute. You can configure it how often it's updated, but so which means you can put in configuration files which can change in there, which is, for example, in the HPC context, the munch key or the slurm.conf. Now let's look a bit at the, and additional, we have the host overlays. So we also configure the services which we need for Werewolf with now overlays. So you can manage your exports or the etc host or the etc.conf. These are the files which are managed through host overlays, so that we can use the same syntax for configuring all the configuration files or overlay. Looks like this. This is now the etc, the issue which comes up at the boot, that you see, okay, which node it is, which container has now booted, which kernel we have used, are there additional kernel args, and then a list of all the network devices that we know, okay, now I'm really seeing at this or that node. So this is, you can imagine anything else and put many, many really interesting things in this overlays. So we also have the, we have shortly to speak about the data model. So we have now here in this variables, and how are they filled in? So we have a data model in Werewolf, which means we have abstracted data. So we have the nodes. So the nodes is the leaf instance. And between the node, there is kind of the profile. A profile is a set of nodes. And then we have kind of sane default values for most of the values which go into Werewolf. Which means now, what kind of things can we then really, has a node pre-configured already, or what kind of data models we have. We have to know, for example, when a node boots, which container it wants to boot, which runtime and system overlays we assign to the node, what kernel we want to boot, or we can override now the kernel so that it can boot with a different kernel, so that we can, for example, boot a leap container with a tumbleweed kernel if we know, okay, we need newer hardware. The network device can be configured, as spoken, in Werewolf. The IPMI can be configured, and we can also have arbitrary key value pairs in the database or in the data store. And now we have a kind of data inheritance, which means for every node, we take, if there's node specific value, for example, then we take it if it's set. So for the IP address, you will always set it node specific. And in most times, this is the only really values you set for the node, because for the rest, you simply set them in the profile, because what container it boots, what kind of, or for example, what gateway it uses, all the things you really define in the overlay, and it's inherited to the node. So the node really then knows, okay, I got this value from there. And for some other effects, like of other things, like for example, the kernel command line, there's a sane default value. You need it because sometimes you want to change it, but we have a sane default value for the kernel command line, for the netmask, for things like this. There are sane default values inside. So, for example, now here for the kernel args, that's the default argument for the kernel. And you say, okay, I want to see now what's really happening. Then you leave out the quiet. And if you know, okay, your node needs no ATSP to boot, then you can simply set it. Now, here you see a listing of a node. And then you see exactly, for example, the netmask comes from the default interface. The kernel override means, okay, we have superseded this because we want now the leap15.3 kernel. This means this is set really just on the node. There is another value in the default profile. So you exactly, relatively shortly know what you have set and what you didn't set. Here, shortly about the boot process. That's the whole thing. So the node, that's the reason why we needed the FTP server. So we need to get the IPXE binary. That's the first thing you get. Then we get the IP address. Then IPXE fetches the kernel, and now not per TFTP, but per HTTP, which means this is much faster than per TFTP. And then we fetch all the rest, the kernel mods, if they are there, container, the system overlay. And now IPXE builds one magic big initrd of this, and then this initrd is booted. Exactly. And then we have our own init in there. We need this own init into Werewolf to configure some more stuff like the IPMI interface. Also, SA Linux needs some configuration. That's this sysfile init configure, this basic stuff here. And then we simply call init booty container. And at the last step, we had in the www.init, so in the system overlay, we have also the WW client, which then downloads the runtime overlay. And that's it. Now, that's the features of 4.3.0. What's planned is a gRPC interface and a JSON REST interface to the WebFD server so that you can have a web application or you can use other tools to get the state of your cluster or change things there. Possible features, what we are a bit looking into is a simple disk management so that you can also be a bit more stateful. Also perhaps a persistent node install. That's lots of people are asking for it. And then also perhaps load balancing. Yeah. You can contribute. It's on GitHub. There is also the Slack channel will move. There is still a Slack channel. There you can always ask question. And then there's always a meeting at 9 o'clock Wednesday where the development team meets. Okay, that's it, and thank you for your attention. Are there questions that I can answer? Yeah, Iqbal? Yes. No. No. No, it's not. You really did this system. No, it's not a stripped down system. No, it isn't. It's a normal system D which starts up, and this system 5 init which we do before. It's just some shell scripts which behave nicely. So it's really the system doesn't know that it's kind of a stateless system. Okay. So, then again, thank you and.